Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health. I am so glad you're here because you being here means you've given yourself a moment of sanity in a crazy world in what may be a crazy day for you. And just the fact you've shown up here is so powerful. I know when I do things that are self-nurturing myself, and I do a lot of different things. I make sure I consume positive media. I listen to inspiring music. I read uplifting books. I expose myself to the ideas of really inspirational people. That makes such a difference. It's just all part of supporting your psyche. And sometimes when I am in unguarded moments, I'll be like listening to some random piece of news, or I'll go and follow a news thread, and it hardly ever has a good outcome. There's always so much material there to make you worried and concerned and really inflate our sense of all of the ill in the world. And there are all those things happening in the world. I mean, obviously all these problems that are there as global challenges are real, but there is such a wellspring of human goodwill, human compassion, human ingenuity, and you start looking for it, and it's there. So High Energy Health, this show, is one of those places where there's a community of people. There are thousands of people who listen to the show every week. They use it for their own well-being. And you are voting yourself in. You're saying, hey, here I am. I'm one of them. I'm going to love myself enough to expose myself to positive ideas. And you also know that I encourage you to listen to the show with a notebook or a journal in hand and take notes. Like when I listen to inspiring people, I want to really make sure I get their ideas and then turn them into an action plan. So I would encourage you to grab your journal, grab a piece of paper, grab a device, and make some notes. And you also know that I am famous or infamous for interrupting my guests and giving you little exercises to do. When they've given you an inspiring idea, I say, let's turn that into an action plan, into an exercise. So please do listen actively. Don't just sit there and say, oh, this is wonderful, inspiring stuff, how nice. Turn it into actionable ideas you can apply in your own life. So I'm glad you're here. Please listen actively. And the final request is please email links to a show to people you know who are suffering. There is so much hope in the world. There's so much compassion in the world. There's so many amazing advancements in personal growth, in science, in well-being, and let people in your circle know about those. If you have a friend suffering from depression or traumatic stress, email them a link to one of our shows on those topics. Let them know that there are options. There are treatments now. There are treatments now we didn't have 15, 20, 30 years ago. Evidence-based treatments that are effective for all kinds of ailments that weren't around just a short while ago. So don't let your friends suffer. Exercise acts of compassion, send them links, encourage them to use resources that can help them heal. So please do that. Be an active listener to High Energy Health and share the wealth with people in your circle. My guest today is Susan Perry. Before the show, I was on her website, which is susanperry.info, and I was so inspired because she has a practice of Aikido. In my notes over here, I wrote down 47 years, but I think it's been longer than that now. She has a 6th-degree black belt in Aikido. She's also served as the president of the Aikido Institute and is author of the book, The Hidden Power of Aikido. She has a PhD in philosophy. She used to be a professor in the California State University system, and you'll be inspired by both her ideas and also by her energy. Susan, it's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me, Dr. Kirch.
So as those years rack up, I know your bio on your website says 47 years. How many years is it now, actually?
Well, I think maybe it's 48.
Oh, good. You're updating your website then. Good. I know sometimes it's a little bit, I haven't done it for 10 years, so the time
well,
is
actually, when I finished the book, one of my editors said that I needed to have an author's webpage. And so that's the webpage that came about as the result of that request. I decided to put everything else in there, too, as long as I was creating a webpage. Why not?
Well, it's a very inspiring webpage, and it covers your work, and it also goes in depth into the philosophy of what you do. So it really is a good reflection of you. And let's maybe start at the beginning of your Aikido practice and what inspired you to get into Aikido, in particular, of all the martial arts, what drew you to Aikido?
Well, it was because my late husband and I wanted to quit smoking. Yeah, I know. That's not what anybody ever expects, but it's the God's honest truth. We were smokers. Both of us smoked filterless Camels quite a few a day, several packs in my case. And we were runners, too. We would run 5 miles down at the college running track near my house. And then we couldn't really add to that, but it wasn't because of muscular strength. It was because of our wind. And we live in Los Angeles, and it was in the 70s, which was one of the worst times for smog in this area. And so we decided we should quit smoking. And it had been a long-standing habit for both of us, and we needed a way of changing our daily pattern so that quitting smoking would be easier. We went cold turkey. So my husband found Aikido class nearby, and he said, let's try that. And neither of us were trained in Asian philosophy, and so it was quite different, and we took it up, and it worked.
Wow. You know, I have seen Aikido from, I think, for 30, 40 years, seen various friends of mine doing it. But the one Aikido moment I remember so clearly was watching George Leonard. And George Leonard, many people now don't know who he is, but he was one of the real founders of the personal growth human potential movement in the 1960s and 70s, along with Gregory Bateson and Margaret Mead, all these other legendary characters who were around then, and they were all just inspiring each other. He was the editor of Life magazine, and he was a world famous personality, and he wrote a book called Mastery. He literally wrote the book on mastery, George Leonard. And I was working with him on a chapter in an anthology right before near the end of his life. He was in his late 80s. And I went to one of his Aikido practices with him. And here's this, you know, 80-something-year-old guy, and he's a big man, but he, you know, is clearly slowing down, more frail than he might have been 10, 20, 30 years before. And I watched Susan as these younger men, like literally half his age, were moving toward him, and with the flawless grace of a ballerina, he would simply move aside and pick them up and go, and they hit the mat with a resounding thud. It was really impressive.
It's funny you bring him up, because I didn't know anything about Aikido at the time that we started our class, and my husband, he said he found Aikido. He saw a little television segment on Aikido with George Leonard. So it was George Leonard that brought me to Aikido in a certain way. But he did become a good friend later on, many years later.
Oh, yeah.
Mastery is a wonderful book, even now, for anybody doing anything. It's really quite relevant. And I've always asked students to read that book. It's been required
to use
in my school, yeah.
This is the principles of mastery, not mastery of any particular field or topic. So then how did you go from those early experiments to smoking to becoming so deeply involved in the field, eventually becoming president of the Institute, writing the book, and your deep commitment to it as a lifelong practice?
Well, that's really why I wrote the book, and that was the question I began with, was, you know, how in the world did I end up doing this for so long? what was it that caught me, that hooked my attention? And I answer that in my book. There's a lot of personal stories there. And it's basically the amazing art, as you witnessed Leonard doing that as an older man with no effort. It's true. You can develop the energy and the centeredness to be able to, we call it, harmonize with your partner and getting out of the way, move them, transform their energy. Aikido always starts with a kind of position of conflict, two people facing one another on a mat, sometimes with a sword, sometimes a number of people facing you. And so the whole practice is to be able to transform that situation of conflict into a situation of harmony and peace.
Wow.
And you can do that. I mean, it takes a long time. It's not an easy art to learn. It takes a long time. But you can see markers as you go along. You get better and better at things. And like your introductory remarks, you know, becoming a more positive person is part of that whole transformation. And so it is just a very uplifting way of living, and I guess that's why I stayed with it so many years.
Still. Did you find it shifted your relationship with your husband?
Well, it's a good thing we were both taking Aikido together. But yes, it changed. We were both trained. He was a philosopher too, Ronald G. Rubin. But we were both trained in Western philosophy, and so this whole thing was a bit new. We were used to kind of fielding criticisms and attacks on our theories and so forth, as we're trained to do in that Western philosophy. And so moving around to Eastern philosophy, where the view is positive and the search is for quietness, was quite a shift. And it shifts everything, of course, your relationship to the world. And hopefully, I mean, my idea was that if enough people learned Aikido, actually Osensei's idea, if people learned Aikido, then maybe we could find world peace.
What is the whole principle of using your opponent's energy and movement toward you and attacking power as a force for resolution rather than opposing it is an incredibly powerful idea.
Yeah, right. And what's hard to do is to receive that energy. You wouldn't think that that would be the problem. But most of us are trained to be go-getters and take the first step and spring forth and all this kind of stuff. And if you do that, you can't really receive the energy that's already there. So people that go to meditations and this kind of thing are trying to quiet themselves down so that they can become receivers. And we are great information receivers. We have vision and our auditory senses and smell and our skin and everything. We are kind of like receptive towers in a way. And if we can slow down enough so that we can realize what's coming in, we can put it to much better use than by trying to overcome everything that's out there.
Yes, right. Yeah. And that whole adversarial and back and forth and resistance mindset you talk about in Western philosophy, where there's attack and defense, and there are all these opposing ideas and opposites. So it is a very different way of seeing the world, and a different perspective from which to approach difficulty, conflict, struggle, stress, and it really shifts things to see things that way. And I never practiced Aikido or martial art, but I learned from watching not just George but also another friend of mine many, many years before how it was just highly thought-provoking to see how you, if you were able to take that stance and have that framework for a conflict, it just immediately shifted the conflict.
Right. It's as if you view the world as a continuous energy moving about, and then you just sort of step into it and become one with it, you know, instead of waiting for something to come up against you. As I was growing up, my mother really liked murder mysteries, and I had sort of followed her for a while in that as a grown woman, and we would go to all the Alfred Hitchcock movies and this and that, and my father was a lawyer, and eventually, when my two brothers didn't join the law firm, he looked at me and thought maybe possibly I could become a lawyer. But, you know, to do Aikido is to move quite a distance away from those kinds of paradigms. I can't read murder mysteries anymore. I can't even watch murder mysteries on television because they're just, you know, the start is, well, these days, too gruesome. In my mother's day, a murder or something would be something done off camera and in the shadows and just suggested that. But today, with CSI and so forth, it's very graphic and it gives me bad dreams, actually. So the positive framework for looking at the world does change your life completely.
Yeah.
I throw out all my murder mysteries.
Yeah. Well, I know that my wife and I have also reached that stage where we are very careful about what we put into our consciousness, because we know it'll affect, like, for example, watching it late at night will affect your dreams. You may be having to process those things in dreams. When I had little kids, I would be in the movie theater or watching TV or something, and if it was a scene like that, I would put my hands over their eyes to get a lot of see. I still put my hands over my own eyes or close my own eyes sometimes. I'm protecting my own inner child.
Well, and, you know, another step after that is receiving touch as kind of an everyday occurrence. Touch is something that a lot of people just don't experience in their lives. But if you look at Eastern remedies for healing, touch is ever-present, you know, with acupuncture or massage or any number of the therapies. If you go to see a Western doctor, very little do you get touched. They're usually facing a computer screen and prescribing you some pills. So we really began to know our bodies much better, you know, and I started finding massage and forms of chiropractic and so forth helpful to relieve me of the bumps and scrapes I would encounter for doing a move clumsily on the Aikido mat, and to keep going. And then we met up with lots of practitioners. People from all walks of life do Aikido. There's people that I wasn't interested in martial arts. You know, Aikido is a non-competitive martial art, no tournaments. And in fact, I argue in my book that it really that martial arts is a term that really doesn't apply very well to Aikido because of these things. But you do find martial artists. A lot of martial arts teachers would send their students to our dojo years later because Aikido focuses on teaching people how to center, how to conduct their energy, how to relax. And although the other martial arts certainly do use these concepts, I'm not saying they don't, but it's very infrequent that you find teachers instructing students in class about how to achieve those states. So a lot of times, as they did with O-sensei, and martial arts instructors will send their students along to an Aikido teacher who will address those things so that when they go back to their other martial art, they have a step up and they know how to do those things. You know, the Japanese way of learning things is not for them to stand and lecture like we do in the West, but you just have to put your eyes out there on stems and grab everything you can, because it's about copying them. And then eventually you learn these more subtle aspects of movement and so forth. But it takes a long time, and you have to be pretty astute in order to get to that place. And so I do appreciate the Western style of lecturing, not just talking all the time on the mat, but it has its place. And it can have its place in teaching people how to come to these deeper states.
Yeah, and those deeper states, of course, once you begin to acquire them in any area of your life, any domain of your life, then after a while are so nurturing that you want to apply them in other parts of your life as well. So people will take a martial art, they may do yoga or qigong, and then they experience that during that type of movement, they then will start to bring that into other parts of their lives. I was just reading a study this week of people doing yoga, and both people initiating yoga practices were finding that they were catalyzing meditative states, and also people who did meditation often would then want some form of movement and pick yoga, qigong, tai chi, something like that, that was going to be a physical expression of those states. So there's a real interchange, flow in our lives between entering those elevated states and some kind of physical movement, and we'll go more into that in the next segment. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. For more on Susan's work, go to her website, susanperry.info. You can see more there, too, about her book, The Hidden Power of Aikido. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health.
I'm your host,
Dawson Church. I'm delighted to have you here. I'm so glad you're immersing yourself in these wonderful ideas and positive media. What Susan and I were talking about earlier before the break is so powerful when you are able to make that choice and say, you know, I'm going to watch something, listen to something that's uplifting, that nurtures me. I'm not going to listen to that thing that's going to pull me down or give me visual images that'll disturb me. So that's a powerful insight, and I want you to make sure you note that in your journal. What are you doing? What inputs are you allowing into your consciousness, into your mind, into your emotional realm, into your spiritual life, into your being that might be disrupting the flow of positive, kind, loving, compassionate, healing energy, well-being inside you? And then think about those things, whether you really do want to watch that horror movie or that police procedural or that violent movie. It's worth being very conscious about our choices in this regard. So just maybe make it in your journal, note in your journal about what you want to fill your mind and heart with, the inspiring things that will make you a better person and make you feel better. Susan, I'd love to know more about the roots of Aikido, when it began, who developed it, how it came to be. So please give us a quick history of the martial art.
Sure. As over the break I was saying, Osensei is the founder of Aikido. His name was Morihei Ueshiba. But all of the students call him fondly O-sensei, a great teacher. And his dates are 1887 to 1969. He was a sickly boy, and his father, who was very interested in the theories of spiritual matters, and his father was worried that he wasn't getting enough exercise and that he wouldn't develop into somebody that was strong. And so he had a martial artist come to the house, had a little dojo there, and dojo is like a school, a little matted area, and teach him different arts. So he was somebody who took a lot of martial arts along the way. He was also very interested in the environment, and I will link these two things together, because part of his interest in the environment was to take a community up to northern, the very northern reaches of Japan, Hokkaido, actually, which was unsettled at the time, and the government was giving out land grants for people who settled it. And so he took a number of people from Tanabe, his hometown, there, and they constructed a community. Well, while he was there, he met up with a samurai son whose name was Sokaku Takeda, and he taught, he was teaching Daito Ryu Jiu-Jitsu. And so I think being up in the northern reaches of Japan, where probably it was rather severe and I know it was very cold, it might have been interesting for him to take some martial arts classes from this teacher that was going around, Sokaku Takeda. And so that's where he got his start, and the teacher apparently formed a close bond with him and taught him all kinds of things. And he, O-sensei learned sword arts and arts with the staff, and he was a fairly well-rounded martial artist. But he heard that his father was dying. That was way back down south in Tanabe, and he wanted to be there for him. On the way back, he heard about a sort of a magical healer who might be able to help his father, and so he took a detour to meet this man, whose name was Onosaburo Deguchi, and he was he and a woman now, his wife, were the head of a Shinto sect called Omoto Kyo. And O-sensei got caught up in that. It didn't save his father. His father died. But he ended up going back home and bringing his wife and kids over to the Omoto Kyo grounds. Onosaburo Deguchi, a lot of Aikido philosophy comes from this period in the life, because Onosaburo Deguchi was very interested in world peace. He accepted students from all over the place. It became a very popular form of spirituality. Art was center place. And he had O-sensei open the dojo there and teach the community his art, which, remember, was then Daito Ryu Jiu-Jitsu. But as he was there with Onosaburo Deguchi, who was telling him to make his art round, he began to find the circles and spirals in Aikido, I would say. And so the art began to change. And then it was called Aikibudo. Aiki means, it's two characters. I is harmony or meeting or appropriateness, and ki is energy, the same character that's pronounced qi in Chinese. And do is the way. But that didn't come until a little later. But Aikibudo, he changed it to that. And then later on, as he moved to away from those that compound and into Tokyo, it started taking on the name that we know it today, Aikido. And very influenced by that teacher, that spiritual teacher, and finding ways of making conflict, you know, straight-lined, 90-degree angle conflict into something round, something he could capture the energy and change it and begin to move it without overcoming. If you only know how to overcome strength, then you're always going to find somebody stronger than you. But if you learn how to use the energy that's coming to you already, then you can be great at energy management.
Absolutely. Use the energy that's coming toward you and managing energy rather than opposing energy. And then as you got deeper and deeper and deeper into it, what kind of changes did you start to observe in your own life?
Well, I was getting along much better with my teenage son. Teenagers are, especially if you have a teenager, they can be kind of like poking the bear all the time, you know, kind of hard to deal with sometimes. But they're young people learning the ways of life. But also, I think in terms of health, it helped a lot I wasn't getting sick as much. You know, I would travel quite a lot. I did an Aikido magazine for 20 years, and so I was traveling a lot with that. And I would get, sinus infections, and which bothered me because it's no fun traveling and feeling sick once you get home. And so I really did a big dive into yoga as well, because all these arts are energy arts, I began to find out. And yoga helped me quite a bit. There's a lot of breathing practices and so forth to take care of that part of your body and make it stronger, more susceptible to encountering other foreign, you know, substances without closing down, I guess. Aikido is often called a moving meditation, like Tai Chi. In fact, Tai Chi is Chinese, and I think probably you and maybe most of your listeners will be more familiar with Tai Chi and seeing us whole individual out there doing very flowing, slow movements. Yeah, Aikido is Japanese, but it's the same chi, it's the same energy that character is in both of the names. And Tai Chi does have a partner practice that you find out if you study for long enough, and Aikido, which most people see as partner practice right away, does have solo practices as you get more familiar with the training. So I think just beginning to notice that this energy was not something I would only be able to come up with on the mat, you know, in an Aikido technique, but that I could take it off the mat, and I began to notice it would come up in different situations, and then I would tie that back to my Aikido training, and my Aikido training saved me in a lot of different situations that I talk about in the book. Like one time I was as a graduate student, I was lucky to land the position of ombudsman of the Claremont Colleges, which had at the time I think 5 or 6 campuses, and they all have their own faculties and student bodies, their own grievance procedures distinct from one another, and the ombudsman is somebody that's there to help when grievance procedures break down, and there's an outside source to go to. So the Claremont Colleges had hired, they would hire graduate students to be ombudsmen, just two. And so I was helping this young girl at a women's college here, and she had had a problem with the dean of students there, and the grievance procedures were helping her, so she came to me. And I thought, okay, well, this is easy. I could facilitate a meeting with I looked up the regulations that she supposedly had violated and this and that, and so I believed her story. And so I made an appointment with the dean of students for both of us to go there, and we did. And we got a foot in the door, and he wasn't happy to see us come in. It was very clear. But I introduced myself, and I really wanted the student to do her own job of solving the problem, so I sat back across the room. And she just wasn't getting anywhere with this guy. And so I stood up, and I made a nice, clear statement about the problem and what we'd like to see happen. And he got up. And I couldn't believe it. He got up, he was shaking his feet, fists, and his feet were shaking too. His pallor became absolutely red, fire red. He was shaking, and he was yelling at me. And I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, this is not good. I don't know why this is happening, and really I wanted to just run out the door. But, you know, I was just a beginning Aikido student at the time, And we had been working in class on fake attacks, you know. I thought, wait, is this real? Is he? He's threatening me, and sort of physically. And is he really going to cross the room and do something to me, or this student that's with me? And then the more I thought about it, the more ridiculous it seemed. Of course he's not going to do that. The secretary was standing in the doorway, and he was behind a whole bank of glass windows where people, students from the lovely campus outside, could see what he was doing. And I thought, you know, he's not gonna risk this wonderful job he's got here on me just for stating something he didn't want to hear. So I almost began to laugh, but I suppressed my laugh, and I did stand and go to my center, and all of a sudden, you know, he became deflated, and I said, I'd like to ask again if you might help us solve this problem by doing X, Y, and Z. Give him an off ramp, and he took it. There was no problem. He just took it, and I thought, wow, you know, there's a case where my Aikido training, just the night before, it had come in and helped me reassess the whole situation, looking for different things, and so that was resolution, and I think it was a peaceful resolution, although he was probably embarrassed, but nobody got hurt was the point, and the problem did get resolved.
And also, what's curious about that, I mean, what's noteworthy about that is, too, that you came to center in yourself.
Yes.
And when you come to center in yourself, it changes the energy of the whole situation. We're energy beings, our energy fields extend a long way from our physical bodies, and so your moving to center may well have shifted some kind of polarity in his energy field. We'll pick up more on energy after a break. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Susan's book and her work, go to her website, susanperry.info. We'll be right back after a break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. My guest today is Susan Perry. For more about her and her book, The Hidden Power of Aikido, go to her website, susanperry.info. Susan, you talk about the two emotions, the two strong and often violent emotions of fear and anger, and about all the energy that is contained in these emotions. How does Aikido deal with that?
That's a great question. Fear and anger, they get us into trouble all the time, but they're always there, it seems, unless you do a lot of work, a lot of inner work, like meditators do and so forth, and people in Aikido. So basically, what Aristotle would say, he was the guy that I studied in my academic years, is that there are pains. Anger is the pain that rises up when you feel unjustly accused, and fear is something that rises up when you feel imminent danger. And so you get an idea, and then you get an emotion, a kind of cognition and a bodily thing. And so what you do is you change the cognitive part. Aikido never tries to get you to suppress anger or fear because those lead to problems down the way, because you can't just erase things that you feel that are there. But it does allow you to tap into that energy and change it, transform it again, by changing the cognitive part. So if you don't see something, in the case of that story I just told with the dean of students, at first I was intimidated and I wanted to run. But when I got my center and I laughed a little bit at my silly perception, then the energy was still there. It was still very forceful, but the idea had changed. The cognition had changed, which is what I'm calling it. Cognition had changed. I saw myself as being overreacting to, you know, to the situation. And so I was able to use that energy and bring it to a close. And that's what you do with fear and energy, is you learn how to look at the world in a different way. You learn how to become strong and feel confident so that things don't scare you as much as they used to. There's another story that comes to mind, and it's one where I was walking my dog, Ame, when she was a puppy. And it was a slightly overcast day here in sunny California, and so people don't come outside much when it's not sunny. And so I grabbed an umbrella, and we went on our way, and we were walking up to the park a couple blocks away. And we passed this house, and it had some big dogs in the fenced-in yard, and I was happy to see the yard fenced in because they were barking up a storm. But I had Ame close to me, and I had her on a leash, and so we managed to walk by to the stoplight and then cross the street. And about halfway down the next block, I heard the clip of some dogs coming down after me on the sidewalk. And that is a very scary feeling because they were big dogs. And I looked behind me. The world's greatest martial arts movement is to look behind you. And there they were, coming down, you know, flying down, I might say. And I saw the owner of the dogs coming out of the side door of his house way, way back across the street calling them, but they weren't hearing him at all. And there was no way he was going to close the distance by running. So I was almost, again, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe the fetal position would be the best thing to do. And my puppy was getting excited, thinking they were playmates, which they weren't. And she was big. I always liked these wolf dogs. So she, even though she was a puppy, she was kind of big. And even if I could throw her up on my shoulder, I don't think she would go with me, and I don't think I could outrun these dogs. So I had a problem. I had a problem. It's a problem that had fear involved and a whole lot of potential conflict coming at me, too. And but something suddenly came to me when I thought of Aikido again, as I pointed my umbrella towards oncoming dogs. And then just as they got there, I pressed the button, and the umbrella just opened and provided an enormous screen shield for myself and my dog. And the dogs running were completely disoriented. They didn't know what to do, you know. All of a sudden, we weren't there. And that gave enough time for the owner to run down and grab his dogs, and so our lives were saved. But and that was about timing. That was about timing. I remember telling me telling my Aikido teacher that night about what happened, and he thought that was really great, because if I had opened the umbrella when they were still quite a ways away, they would have just run around it. And if I opened it, of course, too late, then it would have been too late. But I caught it just at the right time to completely disorient them. And so that is a good way of handling a lot of conflict, is to interrupt it with something disorienting, or change the subject. You know, how about them Lakers in an argument, of course. It's a method people use all the time. But it changed my fear to absolute jubilation as I was walking down and thinking about what happened. I just began to laugh. It was so incredibly funny. A great success story. And that's, I think that's an Aikido story. I think that's an Aikido story, because I interrupted the oncoming attack, and I was able to disorient the attackers. And I did that partly by coming out of a tunnel vision that was causing me fear, and looking at other potential possibilities that I could do.
Absolutely. We often have resources which we aren't using because we don't recognize them as such. And you may not have the same situation had you not recognized the possibility of using your umbrella in some way. Then you wouldn't have had that resource. But your ability to get perspective meant you noticed the resource you already had. Yes. And I think often in our problems in our lives, we are failing to recognize very real strengths and abilities and various sources of support we don't even see or recognize are there. And we certainly caught it when we're trapped in that fear mode, when our vision narrows, we're focused on only the thing that is attacking us, and we don't have the ability to see the whole picture. So you're in that phase as well.
Well, a deep breath helps. I think that's what I did, you know. Stand and see and take a deep breath.
Yes, absolutely. That can help too, and that can, again, is part of that calming practice that makes you realize what you have. We're going to go to a break right now. For more on Susan, please go to her website, susanperry.info. You're listening to High Energy Health. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com.
Welcome back to
My
Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, so glad that you are spending this time doing something positive, uplifting, that can really nurture you and make a difference in your life. Please go and check out Susan Perry's work at susanperry.info, and also her new book, The Hidden Power of Aikido. What I am thinking about, as you've been talking about some of these personal experiences, Susan, is imagine if we scaled up that approach of centering, of not being oppositional, of looking for a way of perceiving all of the energy present in a situation, not just as the potential for conflict, but as the potential for resolution. It would make a massive difference to local political problems, power struggles at the local level, but also the global level. Imagine if countries were finding ways to look at the big picture this way. It would shift the whole way we do business as a species.
You're right. And there is Aikido all over the world now, thanks to just so many people that have taken the time to learn the art and dedicated themselves to opening schools and teaching people. And I did that for a number of years, but just this year I've handed my teaching cap to my advanced student, who is a perfectly good teacher himself, and I just need to give him the chance. And I decided, you know, with my remaining years, I really want to up the acknowledgement of Aikido, like you say, you know, get more people to understand what it's about, and maybe that could help our horribly divided country and world. And so I wrote the book. That's one thing I did, is I wanted to get out to more people than I could in just a class at a time, the ideas of Aikido. But also, I am an artist. I've been studying because of Aikido and through the people I've met through Aikido, Japanese calligraphy, and it's turned into a kind of painting, you know, not just kanji, but then there were moons and bamboo and things like that. But now, just recently, I've done a 24-foot, I call it a dragon roll. I did it at the Monterey Park Cherry Blossom Festival. And there are a number of ensos. Ensos are circles that Japanese monks would practice this form of calligraphy. Circle is the perfect shape because it's the shape of motion. Aristotle said it's perfect because it goes back upon itself and it's never ending. And Aikido uses directed circles, spirals, to do its work. So, and nature uses circles everywhere. You know, you see them, of course, in hurricanes and tornadoes, but also as rivers go down, they are making circles, and waves are circles, and, you know, vines grow in circles. You can fill in a lot of extra examples yourself. But circles are kind of calming to look at as well. And I'm changing that dragon roll into a rising dragon for the Year of the Dragon, which will be exhibited in late November. People can go to my webpage under events and look. But what I wanted to say is that paintings also can change the mood. People get a picture that they like and they put it up on their wall and then they sit and they see it and they enjoy it. It's like looking at a sunset or being in the presence of a waterfall or watching the starry skies at night. You know, why do people go to do those things? It's because it helps us let go of the tensions of the day and come to that special place, that centered place where we want to always be, but life kind of drags us back and forth away from that. And so a painting, just by looking at it, can speak to the person. It has a, if you're an artist that has done this kind of Zen work on yourself, the whole idea behind Zen calligraphy is to become centered and learn how to make a stroke that takes that centered and puts it on the page. Then from on the page and on the wall, it can come back out to affect people that are looking at it. I think we know that. You know, we go to musical performances and dance performances and so forth for the same kind of thing, the vibrations. And I talk about this also in my book. Osensei, the founder of Aikido, was very much into something called Kozodama, which is the vibrations of life and sound. And you know, he agrees with all of the modern scientists that our space in between each other is not empty. It's full. And so what we want to do is we want to change those vibrations that we emit out into the world into positive ones, and that can affect a large number of people. And paintings and dance and same thing, right?
Yeah, it's amazing to read the research on this, and it shows that positive emotion in one person is able to affect people three layers out. So you getting positive isn't just affecting the people right next to you, it's affecting the people next to them, and the people next to them you don't even know. So, Susan, thank you so much for doing your part to bring us all into this way of seeing the world that is so full of potential, so full of vibrancy, and that turns the energy of conflict and fear and anger into energy that can be used for forward movement and growth. I'm so grateful to you. Thanks for being here.
Very much.
And thank you, everyone, for being part of our wonderful high-energy health community. Please join us again next week for the next episode. And again, send any of these shows that are relevant to friends of yours to them so that they can realize that they have resources for their well-being, too. Till I check in with you again, be healthy, be happy, love yourself, and take good care. Thank you.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.